I got something sturdy to hold on to. This thing, this is not quite big enough for me. So that's why I just like being up here. It's just habit. We all have our traditions. And one of mine is just to use the platform up here. I don't mind giving up time for speaking when we have something like that today. We can pray for the Gideons and the wonderful work that they're doing. It reminds me of many, many years ago in 1973. My wife and I were missionaries in Spain. And one of the projects that we took on, the Gideons were not allowed into the country at that time, we took it upon ourselves to take New Testaments. And as a team, we went to all the hostels, all the pensiones, all the hotels in the city of Sevilla and the surroundings. And we asked permission to place Bibles in the drawers of the rooms there. And we were never turned down. It was a wonderful opportunity to get God's word. And inside was a free offer card for, guess what? An Emmaus Bible course. And we got many of those sent back in the mail, and many of those people were studying the Bible through the use of those courses. So it's a great ministry. In my study this past couple of weeks, I came across an interesting quote as it gives a kind of a feel for the book of Acts. And I thought I'd like to read that to you. It's very powerful. With a flick of the fingers, friction occurs and a spark leaps from match to timber. A small flame burns the edges and grows, fueled by wood and air. Heat builds, and soon the kindling is licked by orange-red tongues. Higher and wider it spreads, consuming the wood. The flame has become a fire. Nearly 2,000 years ago, a match was struck in Palestine. At first, just a few in that corner of the world were touched and warmed. But guess what? The fire is spread beyond Jerusalem and Judea, out to the world, and to all people. The book of Acts provides an eyewitness account of the flame and the fire, the birth and the spread of the church. Beginning in Jerusalem with a small group of disciples, the message traveled across the Roman Empire, empowered by his Holy Spirit. This courageous band preached, taught, healed, and demonstrated by the Holy Spirit the power of the gospel message. They went into synagogues, schools, homes, the marketplaces, the courtrooms, streets, hills, ships, desert. Wherever God sent them, they proclaimed the glorious message of Jesus Christ. And their lives and history were changed. And so have many others in the course of time. In the Old Testament, there are 12 books devoted to history. Now, I was a history major, 4 years at Taylor University in Upland, Indiana, majoring in history. I'm not sure what I was going to do with it, and I haven't done much with it. It's just a degree that I have in the field of study that I was interested in. 12 books in the Old Testament devoted to history. Only one. In the New Testament. And that's the book of Acts. And that's the book that we're going through these weeks together. The others are epistles. There are letters written to local churches with instructions, with admonitions, with blessings. The Gospels give us the account of the life of our Lord Jesus. Matthew presents the Lord Jesus as the King. Mark presents him as the servant. Luke presents him to us as the Son of Man. And John, the beloved disciple, presents him as the Son of God. And in that transition period, when the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, in Acts chapter 2, we see the establishment and the birth of the church at Pentecost. In miraculous signs and wonders that took place then to verify, to give credence, to give credibility to what God was doing was genuine and real. Things like speaking in tongues and healings and all kinds of things that God demonstrated in a very remarkable, unusual way to give credence to the fact that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to have been, the very Son of God, with great power and authority to save us from our sins. Now, the book is often called the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, and of the Apostles, there's only three men that are particularly important in this book. Peter, obviously, is the first part of the book of Acts, the first 12 chapters, I believe it is. And then you have this man, Saul of Tarsus, that gets converted on the road to Damascus. His name is changed to Paul, and he's the central figure in the book of Acts from chapter 13 to the end of the book, chapter 28. Exciting chapters to read about his missionary journeys, going from place to place to demonstrate the power of God in changed lives. His life was changed. There is nothing in the world like a changed life. And that's why it's so important for each one of us to know in our heart of hearts that we belong to the Savior, that we have given our hearts and our lives to him, that we have trusted in him fully for our salvation. And he has changed our lives and made us one of his family. We are his disciples, his followers. And those changed lives can have an impact on the world in which we live. I mentioned there was a third one. His name was Stephen. Stephen is mentioned there a little bit as well. You have men like Barnabas, the son of encouragement. There are lots of names of people, but they focus primarily upon Peter and Paul throughout these chapters. I know that we've been going through a little bit of a chapter by chapter, or skipping over some chapters, but I thought it might be good just to have a kind of a rehearse of some of the main themes that are found in the book of Acts, and just talk about that for a little bit. First, you have Peter's ministry, and you have two words that begin with the letter E. This helps you to get an outline fixed in your mind. In those first 12 chapters, you have the establishment of the church and the expansion of the church. Church coming into existence at Pentecost, and then the expansion of that church into all the corners of the world that we know it even today. And we know that the most significant event that took place was the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that transformed the disciples' lives. Peter in particular, he preached boldly. He performed many miracles. And his action demonstrate vividly the source and the effects of Christian power, that of the Holy Spirit. Because of that power, God's people were themselves empowered to go out into a world that needed to hear that glorious message and to accomplish their task. You know, we're not living in the past. We're 2015. The same Holy Spirit that was given to the Gentiles and to the Jewish believers, even those of the circumcision, that same Holy Spirit is resident in the lives of all of us who are believers. God's dynamite. That's what the word, I'm not ashamed of the gospel for it. It's the power of God into salvation. The word power, God's dynamite. That Holy Spirit is available to empower believers today. A couple of months back, or maybe a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, the Lord put it upon my heart to put down in our prayer sheets for Wednesday night. It just came to me, the Lord just simply brought it to my mind, and I put down a prayer request that for Kenilworth Gospel Chapel, that we would be a local church that is vibrant and alive and active for the Lord. That the Lord would not be displeased with any kind of issues or problems that would distract from his honor, from his glory. That we'd be unified. That we'd be of one accord, of one mind. And that we'd be vibrant. That's the word the Lord just kept pressing my mind. A vibrant, alive church. So when people walk in here, they see the reality of a risen Christ in our lives. Not just simply going through the motions. I'm not saying that's what we're doing, but there's a tendency, I can see it in my own heart, sometimes just to go through the motions. I had to stop myself this morning, just sit down and say, just catch your breath. You're running around like crazy. You're doing this, doing that, talking this. Stop. Just take a moment. Realize that you need the Spirit of God's help this morning in giving this message. So the Holy Spirit is available even to us today to draw upon his source of strength. He lives within us. The power is available. It's up to us to take advantage of the spiritual endowment that God has left for us. And then we get into Paul's ministry, which is the latter half of the book. And Paul's ministry shows us the progress of Christianity, and that progress is still going on today. It's amazing what God is doing around the world in different countries. Read it in the insert that I have today about South Vietnam, North Vietnam, Korea, even in China. China, we had a presentation over on Saturday with the simulcast that we had here. And Ben Matthew was giving an illustration about what the churches maybe are going to have to go through in the very near future of persecution. And he met a Christian brother from China. And he was told, well, we know that you're going through a lot of persecution in China, so we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you that you'll be spared that persecution. He said, no. Don't pray that we'll be spared persecution. Just pray that we will come through well for the Lord during the persecution, that we'll speak well of his son. Persecution has a way of bringing out the depths of our heart's devotion and loyalty to the Lord. So Paul's missionary trips, he encountered a lot of those encounters. He encountered a lot of the opposition that was there to discourage him, and he kept on. So we should turn to the Lord to give him the glory and give us the strength and courage that we need and the insight to accomplish and work for him. What are some of the mega themes of the book of Acts? Some of the things that are very important. There are five that I came up on with. Five major themes that we see throughout the entire book. They all kind of converge together. We've intimated the first one, and that is church beginnings. It had to start somewhere. The church is not mentioned in the Old Testament. The church came into existence at Pentecost. They were first called Christians at where? Antioch. Acts chapter 12, I believe. This is how the church came into being, through the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of these disciples in those early days. Acts is the history of how Christianity was founded and how it was organized. The community of believers began by faith in the risen Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to be a witness for him, to love him, and to serve him. What a privilege we have to know him, to love him, and then to serve him with our lives. So what's so important about that? Well, you know, new local fellowships are starting all the time throughout the world. By faith in Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the church, yes, even our local fellowship here, can be a very vibrant, and in many ways it is, a vibrant testimony to the grace of God. You never know what kind of an impact you're going to have on the life of another person. You just never know. I was encouraged myself, and I shared this with a few people. Not that I take any credit or glory, because it probably wasn't anything to do with me, but I was a part of the scenario that took place in this young girl's life. We had a young girl that went on to this girl's retreat this past weekend, and she needed a ride from here back to the bus station in Elizabeth to get home to New York. And I was asking her, I said, how long have you been coming to Pine Bush Bible Camp? Well, she says, I came in, you know, many years as a girl, but then I got away, and then I started coming back again. I said, oh, I'm glad you came back. And then I just asked her, I said, Did you ever have me as your camp speaker? Oh, yeah, Mr. Don. You were the one that was speaking that week that I got saved. Now, it could have been her counselor. It could have been someone else. I don't remember sitting down and talking to her. She's grown up. She looks different than when she was 8 years old. Now that she's 15. But, you know, we can have an impact on people's lives that you just never know the end result. I was over at Yonkers this past week speaking at their Tuesday night prayer meeting, and they told about a man that had come to the chapel after 30 years of being away. 30 years ago, when he was a boy, he attended Bethany Chapel and he learned in Sunday school the truths of the gospel. And he learned about the Bible. And then in high school, he got away and never came back. 30 years later, he shows up at the door and says, I want to reconnect. You guys showed Christ to me. You were alive in your salvation. It meant something to you. And I got away from that and I came back. You know, and you meet people all the time, at least I do. I meet people all the time in the community here when I find out that I'm connected with, oh yeah, the preschool. What was her name? It was Miss Mildred, wasn't it? And then someone before her. And they talk about the preschool having an impact on the lives of people. You can have an impact for the Lord wherever you may give, wherever you may be. And then we know that another major theme in the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit. I realize that we have a tendency sometimes in our tradition to try to minimize the role and practice of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We're not charismatic, but, you know, we believe that the Spirit of God is powerful and active, and it's appropriate to say amen. Amen, right? I mean, don't be afraid to allow yourself to express what the Spirit of God is working in your heart and in your life. The Spirit of God is powerful and can help us in our worship and in our service for him. The church did not start or grow by its own power or by enthusiasm of individual people. This church was started by disciples that were empowered by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit can do the same even today. God has promised the counselor and the guide to be with us all the days of our lives. The Spirit's work demonstrated that Christianity was something that was supernatural. Thus, the church became more Holy Spirit conscious than problem conscious. By faith, any believer can claim the Spirit's power to do Christ's work. Acts presents another key word, that is church growth. Church growth is a mega theme of a lot of people today. Sometimes we can get caught up in numbers. Sometimes we get a little disillusioned. I'll be honest with you, I was just a little disillusioned yesterday morning when we had this simulcast presentation, and seven of us were here. Thank God for those seven. Four of us were elders, which was good to be here to see how we can adjust to homosexual attraction that's such a powerful force in our world today. By the way, that can be seen by anybody here later this week. If you go on their website, and the packets are back there, click on to conferences, and you'll be able to download and watch the whole presentation on how we should have a pastoral response to homosexual attraction and how we can deal with these subject matters in our lives. But sometimes we get caught up in a lot of numbers and church growth. Let's face it, we do want to see a vibrant, healthy assembly. You look at our numbers today, let's be honest, face the facts. We are not growing like we should. We are seeing a few people added from time to time, but look at the pews. This is not what it used to be like years ago. We're living in days in which things are just changing. I go to other chapels and it's the same thing. Church growth is important. We want to see new births. We want to see new people come and feel at home. We're thankful for two new families that have come and others that have come just recently to add to our numbers here. But Acts presents the history of a dynamic, growing community of believers. And in the first century, Christianity spread from believing Jews to non-Jews in 39 cities, 30 countries, islands, and provinces. They heralded the gospel around the globe, around the world, beginning in their own Jerusalem, Judea, and the othermost parts of the world. So yes, church growth is important. And yet, at the same time, let's say you're caught up in numbers. We want to have quality people. We want to have people that are fully committed to the Lord and to His ways, His principles. And we would encourage you to be inviting others. I would encourage my own heart to invite others to come and join us and be part of this fellowship here at Kenilworth. Another key word throughout the book is the word witnessing. Witnessing. Peter, John, Paul, Barnabas, and thousands more witnessed to their new faith in Christ. By personal testimony, by preaching, even defense before authorities, they told the story with boldness and with courage to all who would listen. We are God's people, chosen to be a part of His plan to reach the world. In love and by faith, we can have the Spirit's help as we witness or preach. Witnessing is also beneficial to us because it strengthens our faith as we confront those who may challenge us in our faith. Witnessing doesn't always come easy for a lot of believers today. But let me just encourage you a little bit to think about how you can put into practice ways of reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for Lynn Mulbeck and the ministry that she has with that track rack back there. You know, when you go this morning, maybe just stop, pick out four or five gospel tracts, and find ways this week to be a witness for your Savior. I can make available to you free offer cards stamped with Kenilworth Gospel Chapel that offers a free Bible course that you can insert with the course, with the tract. I use those all the time when I go out to restaurants. They've never been rejected, never been put back in my face. You leave it with a tip, it helps. It always goes a long way. Don't just leave the track and don't leave a tip, but both go together. Gas station attendants, great place to just say a word. Hey, here's something to read you might enjoy. It's a very important message. And share that gospel with a neighbor. And I'm not saying that you haven't done that or aren't doing that. And I've got to be careful because I don't want to be judgmental. But if you're anything like me, there's always room for improvement. We can always be better at the witnessing aspect of our faith. Let the world know that we're Christians by what we say and what we do. And then there's one last word, and I intimated about this before, and that's the word opposition. Through imprisonment, beatings, plots, and riots, Christians were persecuted by both Jews and Gentiles alike. But the opposition became a catalyst for the spread of Christianity. Growth during the times of oppression showed that Christianity was not just the work of humans, but the work of God. I believe that God can work through opposition. When severe treatment from hostile unbelievers come, Realize that it's because you have been a faithful witness and you have looked for the opportunity to present the good news about Christ. Seize the opportunities that opposition brings. I'm thankful to the Lord for a ministry like The Persecuted Church by Richard Wurmbrand. I would encourage you to think about getting a hold of some of their literature. I don't think it's sensationalized too much. It's very vivid, very graphic on how the persecuted church endures throughout the world. They focus on different countries, and they ask us to pray. I thank the Lord for the burden that's put on Bruno's heart for pray for Pastor Saeed in Iran. I know others have prayed for him too. And we do it from time to time, but Bruno, every time he prays for Pastor Saeed, imprisoned in Iran, unjustly so, a Christian who has been beaten and persecuted. Christians will endure persecution. Will it come our way in this great land in which we live? It might, it may, it surely will, I think. What will be our position? How will we stand? Will we be strong for the Lord and a witness for Him? I hope so. I hope that I will be. I hope that I won't be embarrassed or turn away. I'll be strong in my faith, knowing that He is with me. I think of Stephen when he was martyred and stoned to death, and others that gave their lives willingly in the cause of Christ. It may happen to us in the coming day. Well, that's an abbreviated message this morning. I knew there was going to be time shortened because of the other things we had. And I just wanted to challenge us with these few thoughts. And maybe you can help us to think about this book of Acts and how it can motivate us and challenge us in our service and in our walk for the Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the challenge that has come forth this morning that I've heard from my own lips. I've heard what I've said, Lord, and I need it to put into practice in my life. Lord, forgive me for being hypocritical. I don't want to be. I want to be genuine and sincere, honest, and above board in my dealings with you and my dealings with one another here. Lord, just encourage us as we take a look at this book of Acts this month, the month of November, as we go through these missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, as we see the blessings and the opposition that came. Help us to be strong in our faith, Lord. Help us to be a vibrant, growing local church here at Kenilworth, as we have been and hope to continue to be. We again pray for the Safer family as they leave us. We're going to miss them greatly. Tremendous asset to our body of believers here. We pray that you're blessing on them as they regroup elsewhere and identify with another group of believers, that you continue to use them and their gifts and talents there. We ask your blessing on the food that we're about to enjoy downstairs. Thank you for the gals that have worked hard to prepare it for us. Help us to enjoy a good time of fellowship around the tables tonight or this afternoon. And we give you our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.